Hey, how you doing, Duff here? I apologize for the second show in a row. I need to ask you to please forgive the audio difficulties in this episode. I know it's annoying, and it annoys me and it annoys Marty. But I do have some good news. This evening, the Monday after the show, I hooked up with Marty. I've been doing some testing, and I think we finally have the issue worked out, both on my end, and we found out that on Marty's end, the lapel mic he was using doesn't actually deliver the best audio quality. So we're going to be moving forward with much more consistent, better audio quality. So, like I said, I apologize for the inconvenience. Hang in there with us, and it should be pretty good from here on out. Enjoy the show.
Let's just go. Let's
That's
just, it's
good.
good.
Okay,
Okay,
it's
it's
good.
good.
They said it's good. We're gonna work on
Okay.
this. Okay.
Okay. All right.
All right.
All right.
Not
Not
touching
touching
anything,
anything,
guys.
guys.
Okay.
Just
Just
make
make
believe
believe
everything's
everything's
great
great
and
and
just
just
tell
tell
them
them
everything's
everything's
great,
great,
so
so
don't
don't
touch
touch
anything.
anything.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll keep working on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
No, I think
what
what
I'm
I'm
going
gonna have
to, I
to
think what
I'm gonna
I'm
have to
gonna
do,
do,
Marty,
Marty,
is
is like
like set
set
up
up
a
a
like
like use
use
a
a
second
second
test
test
account
account
so
so
I
I
can
can
just
just
test
test
it
it
locally
locally
here,
here,
like
two different
different
rooms
rooms
or
or
something
something
like
like
that.
that.
Because
Because
that's
that's
the
the
only
only
way
way
I'm
I'm
gonna
gonna
nail
nail
it
it
down
down
that
that
it's
it's
I
I
know
know
exactly
exactly
how
how
it
it
should
should
be.
be.
Yep, you have multiple computers, it
Yeah.
sounds like, so you should be able to.
Yep.
Yep.
I
I
do.
do.
Yeah.
Oh,
All right.
I'm
I'm
down
down
here
here
in
in
the
the
corner,
corner,
guys,
guys,
by
by
the
the
way.
way.
Sorry.
Sorry.
And
One of
one of
the
the
differences
differences
of
of
the
the
Skype
Skype
version
version
is
is
I
I
can't
can't
split
split
this
this either
either 50-50,
50-50, so
so
it's
it's
the
the
Marty
Marty
show,
show,
and
and
I'm
I'm
down
down
here.
here.
Welcome, Marty. I'm wearing my my Gateway shirt again. This is the one that Hunka Hunka made and sent me
How does he make shirts?
Sent me one.
What does he do?
So just for kicks. I don't wear this out in public.
Yes,
yes,
Cindy
you
likes
like
that shirt.
Shirt.
I like it.
Yeah.
All
By
right.
the way, just to remind everyone that you know, Duff does convert this into a podcast, which sounds pretty good. The last time I listened to it, and it's on iTunes now. You can search for it on iTunes, which is kind of cool.
Yep,
it's on
so,
iTunes
so,
and Google
Play.
Yeah, so if you don't want to sit through this, you can just listen to it, and the Duff cuts out all this last half hour stuff.
Yeah,
won't be in the audio version.
Yeah,
we cut
out
the technical difficulties.
Yeah.
I'm kind
I'm kind
of
disappointed
that
that I
didn't
at least
like
sound like
a
robot
this week,
because
that
was
kind of
funny.
Funny.
Yeah, the
weird
weird
modulation
that happened to
my
voice last
time.
That was good.
That was
crazy.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
What
happened
to my chest
MRI
death?
Oh,
I'll talk about
that
later.
I'm
still
alive.
Isn't that nice that they
Yeah, you're here.
Cindy's daughter
says
that your
shirt
looks
like
Marty mixed with
Channing
Tatum.
Or
Channing
Tatum.
Tatum.
Hmm.
No,
okay.
Katie
said
that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
I don't
remember what
Channing
Tatum
looks
like,
so
I don't know.
From Magic?
I think I know who.
Joe?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I know who that is.
Sounds like it's a compliment.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
Mario,
well, since
you've been
gone
all
day,
I
know you didn't get
a chance
to look
at
the notes that I had.
No, I didn't.
But
I saw
a
bunch of
your
videos,
your
MSX
testing,
especially
your
hill
testing on
the
MSX,
and
I thought
it
was
very
cool
that
the
MSX
made
it up
Overheat
Hill.
Yeah, I finally, it's kind of been a whirl, feels like a whirlwind the last couple months. You know, I got the MSX, and then I had the pre-production Z10.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I put like 350 miles on that. I was just kind of feeling overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't done a lot of MSX riding, and I've been doing much more. And then the weather has cooled down a bit in Southern California, so I felt I could do a fair test on Overheat Hill. So I pushed out a few videos surrounding that ride. But I did take it up. I did the what I call the mountain stress test, and I love the height of the pedals. It's just like I had I was anticipating the ride, so it was. I love the height. The height of those pedals. You just don't have to worry about scraping anything. And man, that wheel wax cool. I mean, it was that day. It was mid 80s, the temperature Fahrenheit, and the wheel. It seems like the set point on that wheel. The temperature is like 50 degrees C. It's like it loves to be there most all the time.
Yeah, I was surprised when you were reporting back the temperature that they didn't spike any higher than that. That was really, really surprising.
When I went up Overheat Hill, the last hill, it did climb up to like 58 degrees, but I mean, that's still...
That's nothing.
It's like nothing. Mm-hmm. It's very impressive. So that beats every... Except for the MCM5, beats every wheel I've ever ridden up that hill. I mean, beats the V10F, which made it up to the top, but overheated when it got to the top.
Mm-hmm.
And the
18S.
The 18S almost made it, but that overheated. So, yeah, that's MSX. It's an impressive wheel.
It really is.
So the MCM5 would actually climb that hill easier, like faster?
Oh, really? Yeah. Look at that stress test that I did with the MCM5. Man, it just flew up that hill.
Mm-hmm.
The MSX, I was struggling a little bit because, as I mentioned, I think I had the tire pressure too high.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that was losing traction.
Yeah, I was losing traction. It was kind of bouncing. That's why I think I was struggling more. But yeah, the MCM5 is, that wheel is a beast.
Mm-hmm.
I shot some video today. I had the MCM5 up in Griffith Park area, and I wanted to try this super tough trail. I'll be putting out a video on it, and I was not successful in navigating it. You'll see I dropped the wheel quite a few times, and I had to walk up. It's a absolutely brutal trail, but I made it sections that I could definitely not do with any other wheel on the planet.
What is just that steep?
Yeah, well, steep and really rutty and rocky and sections that no wheel could ever ride. But the sections that I could ride, which were steep, I wouldn't be able to do on any other wheel. Mm-hmm. MCM5 is just really an amazing wheel. If there's any guys out there who ride in mountainous areas and tough trail conditions, steep climbing, and you're looking for a wheel that can handle it, the MCM5 is the only wheel on the planet, I'm totally serious, that can handle the toughest of hills.
Mm-hmm.
It's really an impressive wheel.
Did you ever get that bigger battery for the MCM5?
No. Jason, if you're watching this, maybe you forgot about me.
Yeah, so, mentioned that, huh?
A couple months ago, I think, he mentioned about seeing if he could get another battery pack. So I don't know. I'm going to have to sell my wheel and buy another one that has the 800. Because I really would like to have the more battery, because then I could ride farther places.
Yeah. You know,
I like to take long rides.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I saw part of Ian's latest show, and he asked this, I guess he said that his 18L, the tire direction is opposite, meaning that he thinks that it's installed backwards, maybe?
Right.
And he's asking about if it's safe to roll it opposite the tread direction.
Yeah, I've seen that discussion a lot, and... you know, I think at the speeds that we ride our wheels, I don't think it matters.
Mm-hmm.
and a lot of the wheels, like I can't remember, does the 18L have a light on the front and the back, just like the...
It does.
It does, right.
And it reverses automatically.
Yeah, so just by that alone tells you that the, you know, you can ride your wheels backward, forward. It doesn't matter the direction. I personally wouldn't worry about it, and I stopped long ago looking at the how my wheels were mounted, because I think when I cared a little bit more, I saw, I can't remember which wheels, that it looked like the tire was on backwards if you look per how the arrow is on the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think it matters.
To be honest with you, I can't say that I ever even checked.
So I think the answer to the question would be if you're not feeling any physical repercussions from riding it that way, I definitely don't think it's a concern.
I think that's primarily comes into play if you're like riding in wet, maybe conditions, and where it's doesn't the tread have to do with how it disperses the water and stuff like that. I don't know. I just think it matters.
Yeah. Yes, dark flame, we have some audio irregularities. Let's put them that way.
Say something again, Marty.
Hopefully you guys can hear me well enough anyway, even though it's not ideal.
I hope I haven't been talking into the void for the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, I just moved your level down a little bit.
So, do you have anything else about your MSX that you love, hate? I mean, no, I didn't hear anything really negative out of you other than I know that you like Matias's side pads. Seem like you really like those on the hill climbs.
Oh yeah, that's part of that video I was highlighting. I had another video where I installed the pads, and those are great. And you guys riding kind of conditions where you need to grip the wheel. I think they're great. I'm all in. I did want to talk a little about, well. In addition to that, I got mud flaps for the M Super, and I got the Monster flaps.
And I paid for all these out of my own pocket, so I can be brutally honest, which I'm going to be brutally honest right now. So I got the mud flap, and it broke on me.
The Monster mud flap?
Yeah. And so, of course, in the packaging, he says, look at the video, because you might break it. And I looked at his video on how to install it. You know, of course, he's installed it probably 100 times, right? I've never installed it before. And I'm being really careful, and it just wouldn't push on, and working at it, and it cracked. So I was able to get it on, but it's floppy now, and I think the design looks cool, and it's very functional. I have ridden it through water in my LA river trails. I've ridden through puddles, and very effective, even though it's flopping right now. But I don't think I wouldn't spend the money. I don't know, for me, I wouldn't spend what it cost me, $20-$25 to get it from them. I think the design is too fragile. The fact that I couldn't put it on, I'm not exactly an ape.
You didn't take a hammer to it?
No, but I was careful, and it still broke on me. So I think that just highlights the design, and it's too fragile, or the plastic that's being used is too fragile. You can print your mud flaps all day long.
He's actually working on a different version for the monster that I haven't gotten to try it on yet, but he does have a different design. Maybe he's been having that problem. But see, it's tricky because he doesn't have an actual monster to test it on. What he has is that black trim piece that the mud flap clips to, but he doesn't have the actual wheel. So I think sometimes he showed me some demos of how to put it on, but when he's demoing it, he's holding the black piece, and you can't get those same angles when you're actually putting it on.
Yeah, that's the issue. So, this is my experience, so I... personally can't recommend it, or at least without the, without the understanding that it might break on you.
Yeah, I'll let him know.
And then the problem with the M Super mud flaps, which I have them on both my M Supers, is they're fragile too. The M Super, you know, can rotate when it's just, I don't have it on a stand, so I lean them against the wall.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it fell back and broke.
One of them fell backward and it broke.
Mm.
And so again, it's fragile.
Mm-hmm.
So, spend 20 bucks a pop, unless you have a 3D printer and you can print your own copies, I don't know. Unfortunately, I think I would go with, at this point, once these mud flaps fully break on me, I'm going to just try and make something out of rubber, some kind of a flap that I can...
The thing that's on the piece of rubber that's on 18L, it's not an elegant solution,
but it definitely works, and it's obviously going to be durable.
Never going to break.
It's never going to break.
So I was thinking of...
It just screws in.
I can just drill a couple holes in the back and screw it in. So that's going to be my plan once these mud flaps fully break on me. But the side guard pads are fantastic, and they obviously can't break.
Well, I didn't really think about the scenario that you described, like if you lean your wheel against the wall and it just happens to tilt back. I could definitely see that breaking any of those mud guards, probably.
Yeah. Oh, and the monster would just...
It would pulverize it.
Yeah, big time.
Mm-hmm. So maybe I'll see if I can get you a... obviously, you have a monster. If you try his new design, if it works, maybe I can get you to print it up for me.
Yeah, sure.
No, absolutely. No problem. It has a different locking mechanism on it, but I need to see how easily it installs.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all I have on that stuff.
Okay.
So, did you see, I think it was this morning that we're going to get the extended range 18L.
Yeah, that was one of the things I put in the notes, actually. I got the confirmation from Jason about that they're going to be doing something very similar. They're going to start in New York. It's going to probably come to me. I assume it's going to go to Shoots and then you again.
Right. And then up to San Francisco.
Oh, San Francisco as well? Okay, good. Cool.
Yeah, he said we must have seen the same thing. You know, he said that he has the tracking number, so I guess he's going to get it any day now. And of course, that means I'm going to get it in December. By the time I get it,
yeah, it's true.
Probably appropriate since my weather. You know, I can ride it no problem in December, whereas New York's probably not ideal for them. That time,
yeah, it's true.
I'm curious, like the size of the battery, if it's just an 18L, just with a bigger battery. That's kind of what it sounds like to me. It's a 1550 battery in there instead of a 1060 or something like that in the 18L. So yeah, I'm assuming I'm going to have a very similar experience, just be able to just go further. You know,
I don't know, but I assume the shell must be different. It must be wider. Some could fit the batteries in there because isn't a fairly tight fit now.
Yeah, it was pretty tight. But I'm curious how it's going to come in. Because obviously it's like an attempt to compete with the 1600 watt hour Gotway wheels.
You know, range wise. But I'm just thinking about price. Like how expensive is it going to be to add another 50% of battery capacity on top of what they already had, because they were already coming in at like 1,800 bucks, something like that.
Didn't he say, it must have been the same post, that it was going to be about 2,200 bucks?
I didn't see the post, I just got an email. I didn't see the post, okay.
Yeah, I think it was 2,200 bucks.
Oof.
Which, that's pricey, you know.
That's more than I paid for my first monster. Yeah, that's getting up there.
Yeah, that's... I'm looking forward to trying. I think of all the people that are going to be getting this wheel in rotation, I think I'm like the only guy who does the long range rides.
Yep.
I can do a 40-mile ride in my sleep. You know, that it doesn't. I do those all the time. So I definitely look forward to trying trying it and seeing how it stacks up to the M Super line.
Yeah, I'm curious how you like, the throttle back that happens as you hit the lower battery levels on it. How annoying you'll find that. Because the Z10 does that to you as well, right?
Yeah, and the KS14S does it. But it all depends on when it kicks in. If it kicks in like a 25% battery, it's probably gonna be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I have ridden the 18L, but only like for 10 minutes, not very long. So mm-hmm. when I get this, I'll be putting probably a couple hundred miles on it,
mm-hmm.
at least.
I'm just curious how different it'll feel.
Yeah, the 18L has its own pad, so I don't think you'll have to add any
pads. One thing I had on the notes here, Marty, was I wanted to get your thoughts on what you thought about Matias' MSX torture test. Where he pushed the car around until it melted.
That was funny.
It was quite funny.
It was interesting, and I could see why. See, he was getting a new control board, and
right.
I guess he assumed
the no tilt back control board.
Mm-hmm. So he assumed that the board was going to fry, and I would have told him that. No, that probably the wires are going to melt. Mm-hmm. I would have, if that was the kind of test he was going to do for a long period of time, I would have told him, you better open up the wheel and separate those wires as best you can, because mm-hmm. that's what's going to melt. But, yeah, it was interesting.
That was funny. But didn't they, with the MSX, beat up the MOSFETs and the control board, but aren't the motor wires supposedly... Like a thicker gauge as well? Or just the connectors, I guess,
would
be stuff.
But I thought they also did thicker wires. I think there's thicker wires, just like starting with the Tesla. Mm-hmm. I think from the Tesla on, they've all beefed up the wires, but I don't think they're any beefier than the newer generation. And of course, there are no connectors anymore.
Those types of wires, they go...
Well, no, it's a. I guess technically it's still a connector, but it plugs directly. The connector goes directly onto the control board.
Oh, okay. I thought it was soldered to the control board. I didn't realize it was a little connector.
It's some kind of a pretty beefy connector, but it's right on the control board.
Okay, that's a plus.
But it's funny how people still when they open up. The Gateway wheels, it's still kind of spaghetti in there, you know, compared to the King Song and 9 Baud and in motion where everything, they have wire harnesses and everything looks beautiful. And mm-hmm. you open up the Gateway wheels and it's, you know, it's wires going across like that. And it's
Did you see Eddie Moy's video? I guess he opened up his MSX and that's exactly what he was commenting on, how lackluster the cable management was. You know, how different it was compared to the other wheels.
But Eddie's acting, I don't know, he's acting surprised, like, you know, we've known about this forever.
Oh, yeah, it's not news. It's actually better than it was.
Yeah, it's still better than it was, so. Mm-hmm. I get where he's coming from, but I guess I'm just looking at, you know, I just want to have fun with the wheels, and they're fun wheels, and they're not crapping out on me anymore. And as long as you don't push cars around with them, I think they're pretty robust wheels at this point.
Did you see Eddie's attempt at a stress test? What he was doing?
No,
MSX. He had a standalone temperature monitor that had two leads that he stuck inside the side of the wheel and had them on the motor wire, and I think maybe around the control board.
And then he took his MSX and just leaned against the wall and just tried to keep pushing into the wall, and he was watching his amps, I guess.
And he got over 90 amps a couple times, but he didn't blow anything. He didn't do it long enough to cause damage. That was his stress test. It wasn't visually impressive, let's put it that way.
I'm at the point, I've had enough problems in the past with my wheels. I just want to enjoy. I just want to go out and ride and have fun.
Me too. Yeah, I guess it makes good content. You know, when you blow up your wheel and stuff. But I would rather just ride mine.
Yeah, I've taken apart enough wheels, and I'm just kind of over that right now.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't have to open up my wheels, great. I do, obviously. What I call the mountain stress test, but that's still, I'm not going out of my way to try and burn up a wheel at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's entertaining, and I bet Matthias at some point he's going to get tired of it too, and he'll just like mellow out a little bit more. And,
I mean, he's talking about coming up with, he actually bought an Arduino, maybe one of those little mini processors.
Yeah, and he's trying to come up with a way to do an integrated temperature monitoring system on his wheel.
I mean, he's very involved with his wheel.
It's all cool stuff, but for me, I have a practical solution. I have the Pebble watch.
That's great, actually.
Alarm set to 90 amps, and from kind of empirically derived. There's some debate whether that's really 90 amps. For me, it doesn't matter. The bottom line is I have it set to 90 amps, and it only triggers under extreme conditions when I'm really pushing the wheel or when I'm going fast and I hit a hard bump. I'll get a little vibration.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives me I'm comfortable knowing that if my watch on my wrist starts buzzing continuously, I know that within, a handful of seconds, I'm going to stop.
Yeah.
And I know I won't burn up the wheel that way. And that's my practical approach.
That's perfect. I don't know of a much better way that you can monitor it than that, really. You get tactile feedback, you know that it's happening.
Right.
Do you get temperature as well on your Pebble, right? You can see temperature?
Yeah.
That's all you need.
And I also got this. I forgot to... it's in this baggie. I don't know if you can see it, but it's a little piezoelectric. I'm not even sure that's probably not what it's called, but it's a vibrating mini disc.
Hmm.
What are you doing with it?
I'm going to open up my one of my ACMs, and I'm going to solder this in place of the buzzer.
Mm-hmm.
And epoxy this to the shell. I still have to figure out where I want to connect it. So it triggers off 1.5 volts to 5 volts. And the more voltage, the stronger the vibration. And I connected this to a AAA battery. And it's amazing. This little guy, it really vibrates pretty strong.
So you'll feel it when the beeps will be going off.
Yeah, because you can't hear the beeps if you're going 25 plus miles per hour.
Mm-hmm.
It's hit and miss whether you can hear the beeper when you're at the 80% alarm.
Mm-hmm.
So that idea a few of us had is to actually this is Eddie in Rehab One. They were talking about this, so I just opted to buy one, and I haven't yet gotten around to connecting. Of course, I don't know if you have to really feel the vibration. That's the big experiment. Maybe I'll have to buy a bigger one. I don't know.
That's what someone just mentioned in chat. If you're going to be able to differentiate between the vibrations of riding versus a warning.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I guess we'll find out. It's a cheap experiment to try.
That's a good idea. So where are you at with your Z10?
I know that you...
that you liked it, but you had those little annoying things that were going on. Have you been riding it much lately? You've been riding your Gotway wheels mostly.
No. I rode it 25 miles yesterday. Mm-hmm. I did it was a hard 25 mile ride, meaning I rode it fast. I was riding 22, 23, 25 sometimes for the whole 25 miles, just like a hard ride. And it kind of validated that the Z10, I'm going to start saying the Z10 is a 25 mile to 40 mile wheel. If you ride it hard, and I had about 25% battery at the end, so it's still pretty fun towards the end. So if you ride it really hard, it's a solid 25, mile wheel. But if you baby it, where you're not riding, 18, 19 miles an hour, stuff like that, it's easy. It's a good solid 40 mile.
So that's closer to the numbers that Ian was seeing during his range testing.
Yeah, he really pushes it. And he says he's. I think he needs to come up. He says he wants to push the wheels hard, and that's the realistic range. But I think he needs to have a couple different tests. He needs to ride it hard. Okay, that's the worst case. Like he said, I want to give you guys what's the worst case range. Mm-hmm. But I think he needs to still do more of an average type of ride, so you have a better feel for what's a typical range you could get. Well, but I think you can get better than 25 on that.
I think he told me that during the 18L range, his ride tracker showed 4,000 feet of elevation gain up and down. During his ride, I didn't realize he had that much elevation going on.
Yeah, you really spell all that stuff out. How much he doesn't tell people often enough how much he weighs, and the ambient temperature. And I didn't know 4,000 feet. Wow, I didn't know that's a lot. Yeah, by the way,
that's a whole lot. Yeah. So I'm very surprised to hear that. See, Will is asking about, we can both answer this, but I noticed some similarities when I rode the Z10 was it felt as foreign as the Monster did, just because of its profile, it just felt like a much different wheel, and I think handling wise, wouldn't you agree maybe that
they kind of turn in the same way, on the Monster. It's not the smooth leaning turning. That it's more hard to describe, but.
Well, he talked about the same thing, like the centrifugal force and the thickness of the wheel. It just feels like when you go into a turn that it wants to just kind of stay upright. You got to put some extra body weight into it to make it hold that turn, hold that angle.
Yeah. I think the Monster, the Z10, and the N10-3 talk about different ends of the spectrum, but all those wheels, in a way, turn the same way. They handle turning. Other than that, I don't think there's much similarity between the Monster and the Z10. I don't know. Just totally... Monster's really a cruising wheel, though. I mean, you can't get much more comfortable going distance than a Monster, right?
Yeah, it's the best cruising wheel I have, for sure.
Yeah. And of course, I keep saying that I think the Z10 low-speed turning, I know Ian doesn't agree with this, but I think it's a fantastic wheel for low-speed maneuvering, the Z10. I love it.
Well, I saw the video that you did when you were riding Z10 around in a way similar to you were on your N10-3. You're doing your low speed backwards, and it's very, very controllable. Much better than I could do.
I did that at one of the piers near the ocean. Had a little fun doing that. That was kind of a purpose of doing that. It was just to show that it's a great fun slow speed turning wheel.
Yeah, I was impressed you could do that because, to do some of those maneuvers, you've got to lean it hard, and just because of the weight of it, it's not as light as the N10-3. I can just control that with foot pressure, whereas the Z10, you got to kind of bounce it off your calves.
Yeah, there's obviously nothing beats the N10-3, obviously, but yeah, so we probably didn't answer his question, but it's hard to.
They are different.
Yeah.
I would say, on the road, if you're just doing road riding, I would say that they both cruise in a similar way. I mean, the Z10 feels stable if the tire pressure isn't too high.
Yeah. Yesterday when I was riding it, it occurred to me, it's a stable wheel, and I found myself going 22, 23 miles an hour without working too hard.
Mm-hmm.
It feels very, very solid. It's a nice wheel. It's still, I'm still grabbing it much. I keep telling people the ACM2 is my favorite wheel, but I don't ride it much. It's just I have so many wheels to pick from. That's the problem. So, it's tough. The problem is most people don't have 10 wheels to pick from, right? Most people have one or two wheels, so then they're asking, well, what's the best wheel to get? And in that context, it's good for me, it's going to be the ACM2. Because if I only had a couple wheels, that would be one of the wheels for me because of the extreme range. It's fast,
mm-hmm.
maneuverable.
Yeah.
Unless you're like Duff and you're about 6'8".
Yeah.
I'm joking.
Yeah. give or take five inches. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're really tall, then the squatter form factor of the ACM might not be ideal.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Z10. I was just looking through the chat here. You guys both have high-end wrist and elbow protection. You asked Marty if you forgot what brand you were using. I think Marty and I both put links to the stuff that we use in our video descriptions. I have Killer 187 wrist guards, and my elbow pads are actually lacrosse elbow pads, believe it or not. And there's links in all my videos. I don't know what brand your stuff is, Marty.
Yeah, I have elbow pads are ProTec.
Oh yeah.
I transitioned to 888 knee pads because they're kind of a slimmer form factor, but they still have all the protection mm-hmm. of the ProTec. They're pretty beefy, but they're not quite as wide on your leg. And plus, you don't have to, the ProTecs, you have to take off your shoes to put them on.
Mm-hmm.
And the 888s, you don't. That's why I moved to them. So I love the AAA knee pads. And I do have pretty expensive flexometer wrist guards, which I love. They're like, depend, $80 maybe.
Oh, wow.
But they're really nice. Mm-hmm. And I feel very protected when I wear those.
I think I mentioned in my video from last week that I actually started wearing knee guards that are meant for labors, like people that are on their knees all day, like the brand that I got was called No Cry, and I like them because you don't have to take off anything to put them on, and it's just a clasp that you adjust, and then once it's adjusted how you want it, you just snap it on, and snap it off. It's really easy and it's comfortable, and I think they're 30 bucks, they weren't expensive.
Yeah, but check our check the links in our YouTube videos, and you can see all the equipment that we use. Did you happen to pick up that I made a post about this, that my wife came in and told me about a week ago now that maybe I can you teach me how to ride, which I know. It was like totally out of the blue, and she's not an athletic type or anything, but yeah, it's just really good. Believe me, I had asked her in the past, and she had nothing to do with it, right? And then for her to come out of the blue and ask me, you know, that maybe she'd like to do it.
Wow.
She wouldn't ride like, for her, she likes the idea of maybe potentially riding together to some local parks and kind of just to get out of the house more and to enjoy potentially riding together. And so, really cool.
Yeah. Did the training start yet?
No, it hasn't tried to start it. I'm probably going to have to initiate it, but kind of deciding how to do it, what wheel to pick. If it's not a given that she'll still take to it, but if she does, you know, ultimately what wheel I'm kind of leaning towards, maybe a V8, Glide 3, something, you know, ultimately for like her wheel, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think I can find one of my wheels that we can use for training.
And you don't have a mini pro or anything like that, right?
No.
Okay.
One of the guys, someone suggested that that's an alternative, which I hadn't thought about that actually, but even if the...
Super easy to learn. Super easy.
Yeah, if the wheel doesn't work out, maybe that's still a viable option. So we could still enjoy going out together and riding around some local parks, like just like you and Sydney do, right?
Yeah.
And the new ones, what are they called? Mini pluses? The new model has slightly faster top end and slightly better batteries as well. So Ian just reviewed it on his channel last week, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm going to keep that in mind.
Yeah, it is really easy to learn. And Cindy feels safer on that because you're not as much of a risk to fall as you are on an EEC.
I don't know if it was the same thread, but someone posted a video, you know, a YouTube video. I'm sure there's lots of them out there, but it's like, I don't know, 15 minutes of people falling from
hoverboards.
Yeah, the hoverboard.
Oh yeah.
Oh, God, it's like scary.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way I'm going to show her that video for sure. Just put that in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. Hoverboards look really dangerous, right?
Mm-hmm.
The vast majority of people are falling in the back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Like the wheels, you never fall on your back.
No,
that's not how you. They seem so much more safe than a hoverboard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they are. It's easier to learn, and it's better specs, and it's just much better piece of equipment.
But the Mini Pro, right, is the same thing. You don't have a tendency to fall backwards and stuff like they do in the hoverboard.
No, unless you get on it backwards. I've seen people do that because you're supposed to step on it from the back to the front.
I've seen people step on it the other way, and then what happens is the steering bar gets reversed, and then you think you're going left, you go right, and you fall right off.
But as long as you get on it the right way, it's 15 minutes tops for someone to be able to do the basics on a mini pro.
Yeah,
it's really easy.
Yeah, so maybe I'll ultimately have one of those. Kind of fun. So anyway, I thought that was great. That'd be awesome. I actually was in the middle of posting a video about this.
Remember how I talked, if you saw my video last week, Marty, I don't know if you did. I talked about how I was going to look into possibly getting rid of my big Segway.
Yes.
The I-2.
You had the mystery, what am I going to buy?
Yes.
I don't know if you, have you announced the...
No.
Okay.
Still a mystery.
But just tell me, Duff, between you and me, no one else in here.
It's an electric vehicle. but the interesting thing is, to sell it, who do you sell a big-ass Segway to? And I listed it on my local Craigslist, and I got no interest whatsoever. But then I listed it on eBay as well. And if you look on eBay, there's a number of Segway I2s on sale for there. And it just seemed impractical to me because most people don't ship them. Because they're so big, it would cost a fortune to ship. It would be a huge pain in the ass to ship. So most of them are designated local pickup only auctions. And I'm like, what I have to lose, it doesn't cost me anything to do it. So I listed it on there, and I sold it within 24 hours.
Oh, really? Wow.
Full price. Yeah. Within 24 hours, local pickup only, and the guy that won it lives in Kansas.
Okay, and it's gone already.
It's gone already.
But what does that mean?
He left his house Thursday morning and arrived in Naples Friday evening. Threw it in his Ford Focus, stayed the night in Naples, and he has to go back to work tomorrow. So he left Saturday morning and is driving back to Kansas. He's probably home by now, hopefully.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
What would you... Talk to him maybe a little bit. Why did he want?
He has some sort of medical condition that makes it hard for him to get around. And his job, he's like a site manager for some facility that has like four warehouses. And he's going to use the Segway to make getting around a lot easier for him.
What about a Mini Pro? I wonder why he didn't.
He has a Mini Pro actually, and his wife has a Mini Pro because his wife came down with him as well. But his issue also causes problems like weakness in his ankles, and sometimes he bumps the knee bar in the Mini Pro accidentally, and that can throw you off the Segway. It's a little bit more controllable. So that's what he wanted it for. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe that he sold it. And I got like six or seven people that contacted me within that 24 hours asking for more information.
It was amazing. What did it sell for?
$2,250.
Yeah. You didn't pay that, did you?
No, I didn't pay anything for it.
I don't think I ever gave it back for it.
Basically, this was something that was a gift from, I believe, an NFL quarterback to a lineman. Who never used it, who gave it to one of his trainers, I guess, who never used it. It sat in their garage for 5 years, unused. They asked me if I wanted it, and I said sure. But then I had to spend like over $1,000 in parts to get it. I put a used set of batteries in it, and I had to get the magic key that runs it. So I had over $1,000 in it. But yeah, I sold it for that much.
Yeah, I remember that now. Yeah, you got it for free, but yeah, I couldn't remember how much money you put into it. Mainly the batteries, right? That was or a couple $100 in that fob too.
Yeah, 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 like $250. But it's amazing. They hold their value for some reason. I mean, they cost five or six thousand dollars new.
Yeah.
But mine was the cheapest one on there. The cheapest functioning one on there by probably $750.
And the batteries are pretty good condition for what you described, right?
I got 20 miles out of them. So yeah, it's not bad. And I also gave him my original set of batteries. He's going to probably get those rebuilt for like $1,000, and so we'll have another set. Yeah. He's happy. He's thrilled. He rode it around Naples Saturday morning a little bit before he left and said it was great.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, wow,
that was profitable.
Yeah, it's going to pay for my next vehicle. So it's awesome.
So when are we going to all find out what you're getting?
Well, I can maybe tell you offline, but I can't announce it.
I probably had about a dozen guesses.
People were guessing all kinds of things of what it could be.
Basically, you're going to announce it when you have it, I guess.
Yes. But I am getting it from e-wheels, so that's a hint, maybe.
Ah, okay.
So it only has certain things.
Yeah, I know. So that makes me think it's going to be a scooter of some sort, maybe. Let's see, sell scooters, electric... It doesn't sell that much, really. Scooters, electric bikes. Yeah, does he sell... I don't think he sells any electric skateboards.
No, I don't think another one of those.
Yeah, so... Probably a scooter.
Yeah, I don't know.
Those scooters, man, and the electric bikes. I haven't ridden a scooter, but when he was out here last year, he put me on one of the electric bikes that he was getting in. Man, those things have so much torque that they can throw you off the wheel.
Oh, it's insane. Because they're dual motor, and they're strong motors.
Yeah, it's impressive. You know?
I saw a video of someone doing 90 kilometers, what is that in miles per hour? 90 kilometers an hour on his scooter.
I saw the same thing, right, on Facebook. Yeah.
55 miles an hour.
Zipping in and out of traffic, and he's just driving like a maniac. It's crazy.
That was a dual, what's that, Dualtron?
This is a Dualtron Ultra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man. Yeah, I've ridden with some, when I was up in San Francisco, one of the guys that rode with us. I don't think it was that. I think it was a custom built, but it was along the lines, and this guy was insane. He was just booking, man. Mm-hmm. And he would just go over, he was like a wild man on this thing, and definitely no lack of power.
No, the torque is incredible. I mean it's like you said, it's just grab on the handlebars and hold on. And get into a squat stance. Because you still could fall off.
That's crazy.
Okay. Well, that should be interesting.
So we'll see.
Cool.
The problem with the scooter is you need to hold on, you can't carry coffee. Yeah, that could be a problem. I guess you could steer a scooter with one arm, I think, one hand. As long as you're not doing anything crazy, I would imagine.
Yeah, maybe not 50 miles per hour.
No, that's probably not a good idea. So my iTunes is sold. I just felt so fortunate. Because when I entertained the idea of selling it, I'm like, oh man, it's going to be such a pain in the ass to sell it. No one's going to want it. And it's gone in a day. I couldn't believe it.
Well, the guy in Kansas, wow.
That's the guy in Kansas. Yeah. But I came to find out he's like the type of guy that has every kind of toy you could imagine. He has a ton of cars, motorcycles, he has the hovercraft. You ever see a hovercraft with a rubber skirt that can go?
Yeah,
he has one of those. He has an Airstream. Tons of stuff. He's like a real mechanic thing, buying, rebuilds cars and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, interesting guy.
There's a lot of people out there with addicted to all kinds of electric or devices.
Yeah.
And transportation. I mean, it's.
Well, he actually had a 9x1 too. He tried to learn to ride on a unicycle, but again, because of his weak ankles and stuff, he just couldn't swing it. So he was very impressed when he saw my collection. And I think I got him hooked into 3D printing as well. He saw my print farm going back there, and he's very excited about that idea now, too.
Wow. Yep. Sexy stuff.
All right. Yeah, I don't have much more on my talk about list, Marty. I didn't really have that much time to prepare. I don't know if there's any other topics floating around the forum. I didn't have time to get in the forum to see what the latest hot topics are.
Yeah, it seems like it's been a little quiet. I guess the new extended range 18 in Cal, that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what new Max Gotways do to release something next month or two.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
Well, it's going to be the Z10 Fat Tire Gotway, probably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I don't know. If you look at what Ninebot had to do to produce that wheel, some of us have doubts that Gotway is capable of producing a Z10 killer wheel at this point, because they'd have to produce a truly custom motor to be able to do mm-hmm. what Ninebot did. Because the Z10 is such a unique wheel that it's, you know, you wonder where are the batteries, right? Because that's why it has this look. It doesn't look giant.
It's not tall like you would expect it to be.
Not tall. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know. Definitely be interesting to see what Gotway comes up next. I thought I was going to mention today, but today was a whirlwind day. I got up earlier, there was in Los Angeles, they do this, I think, four times a year in a different parts of the city where they close off major streets through downtown L.A. And it's like a combined about 8 miles worth of riding. And so they block off major thoroughfares. And so it's just people riding bikes, skateboards, rollerblades, electric unicycles, everything. And so you have you own the city for, it's fun. So when I rode to Griffith Park, met Ando. So I had my Z10, he had his Tesla, and then we rode LA River down to downtown LA. We met up with this where this kind of begins. It's nothing formal. I think they have the streets blocked off from 9, 10 o'clock, something like that, till 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, wow.
Just for that whole time period, people are going one way or people are coming the other way direction. And I shot a bunch of video, so I'll be pushing out this video. We met Yoshi, another local rider.
Mm-hmm.
He had his ACM 2 with him. And so we just rode Sight and Sounds of LA. They had music. There was a 100th anniversary of the LA Philharmonic Orchestra, so they were having a free concert at the end, like it's probably playing right now at the Hollywood Bowl, and that was free. Just cruised around. We had unfortunately had a couple problems that Ando, so he was the one with the Tesla that we met. About a mile into the ride, he got a flat. And he doesn't put slime in his tire. And still, a bunch of people don't put. I keep telling people, put slime in your tires.
Mm-hmm.
But so yeah, got a flat. That was it. You had to walk it out. I assume he got home with Uber.
Mm-hmm.
He has over 4,000 miles on his Tesla, and I think his Tesla is less than a year old. That's
wow.
All. He doesn't have a car. He's in his, I think he's like mid-20s, later 20s, something like that. And that's all he rides in the whole LA area.
Really?
Going to work stuff.
Wow.
There's quite a few people around here that they use their wheels exclusively for commuting.
I think Chief says that. I believe his wheels are his only source of transportation. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Hmm. So 4,000 miles, that's that's a lot. And then we're going to meet up with Dan, another local rider. He's in Orange County, which is like 20, 30 miles south of downtown Los Angeles, and he decided to take the Metrolink, which is it's a Amtrak kind of a train system.
Yeah.
It's not like a local rail, but it's more of like the big locomotives type, and they run. He decided, I'm not sure why, but he decided to take that, and had all kinds of mechanical delays, and we gave up. We couldn't wait for him, and so we started riding, and he finally got there, and he could never meet up with us. I was sending him Google pins. We're here. We're eating lunch here. We're here. And I don't know if he didn't have a capable smartphone that he could navigate to the pins. And basically, we got to the end of it, and he was still trying to catch up with us. And the last text he sent me was, "I'm going home." So
that's a bummer.
Yeah, but it was fun. And oh, get this. So I'm riding, when you see this video, this is hordes of people. I mean, this is like some of the densest, some sections incredibly dense amounts, I mean, just hordes of people. I mean, massive amounts of people doing this. And so I'm cruising, not too fast, but and some guy behind me yells, hey, I like your YouTube videos.
You're kidding.
Totally out of the blue. It blew my mind.
Wow.
So I stop and turn around, and he's on this electric bike with these big tires like this wide, one of these just monster tires. And
what is that, one of the Super 73s?
I've heard of those.
Yeah, it was, and he was there with his brother, and he doesn't ride EUCs, but he told me he subscribed to my channel, so he watched my stuff, and he knew he'd seen some of the places I ride. He was talking about the 60-mile ride recently I did, and it's so funny to come across someone totally out of the blue that sees me. Cause I have my helmet with my trade, I guess it's my trademark neck scarf in the back, you know? And so it's pretty recognizable if you see me. So I got a big kick out of that. And he watches, he didn't have his name down, but Chucha's videos, he commented on him. And, but he doesn't ride him. He was a pretty big guy. He was like 280 pounds, so he didn't think he'd be able to ride an EUC, but he gets a kick out of watching them, though. That's funny. People watch our videos, right, that don't necessarily ride.
Yeah, I think it happened a few times where people out of the blue, they recognize me. Like, I was going to...
really?
One of our branches, but he didn't recognize me from my EUC videos. He recognized me from my 3D printing stuff. And he didn't even see me. He just heard my voice. He's a security guard at one of our remote offices. I've never met that guy before. And I'm walking around there doing something, and he says, hey, Duff, what's up? Look at the guy. I have no idea who he is. And he told me that he's seen my 3D videos. And I'm like, oh, wow, it's crazy. You just never know who you're going to touch on that kind of stuff.
Yeah. It's even more surprising with you because, I mean, your Naples is, it's definitely a smaller area compared to Los Angeles, right?
Yep. No, it's quite surprising.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yep.
And after that, on the way home, I continued on to Griffith Park. It was like a giant loop. That was like a 20-mile ride to the L.A. and then through L.A. and then back to Griffith Park.
Mm-hmm.
And I switched wheels to my MCM5 and I took that up into the Griffith Park. I wanted to try this super steep, trail that I wasn't really successful in climbing, and got some video on that too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the MCM5 take us though.
Yeah. I'll sleep good tonight. I got about 35 miles of riding all day. I got here about 15 minutes before Duff and I started this live stream. I just got here. I've been riding out in the streets all day today.
I did a 16-mile ride today, but it was on my one wheel. On my one wheel, yes. It's great.
Yeah, you haven't pushed out any one wheel videos.
I was in the middle of doing it, but it wasn't done, so I just stopped in the middle of it. I'll have to push out of my mind or something. It's great fun. I'm still waiting for you to borrow your buddies to see what you think. I know you're going to get hooked. I know you will.
I'm warming up to it. I think when I mentioned that last, I was still kind of feeling a little overwhelmed with
CC10.
The Z10, the MSX, and I was just like, I don't want to get another wheel. I told you I didn't want. I was glad that I wasn't going to get that 18L that Jason originally talked about.
Right.
I was just like, I'm just up to here with wheels, but now I'm back, calm and I'm all recuperated and I'm ready for new wheels now again. So maybe I'll, good reminder.
You definitely should try it.
Check out the one wheel again.
Yeah.
Variety. I saw one I saw one one-wheeler at the in L.A. today. I saw a couple EUC riders in the wild, as we say, coming in the opposite direction. They flew by us. I don't think that they didn't see us. Didn't get, couldn't quite pick up what they were riding. Got the sense it was based on the shape of the wheel, either an in-motion type or a Kingsong type wheel. But so that was interesting. Lots of electric bikes. Saw a penny farthing, is that what they're called? You know, those the original bicycles, you know, where they had the giant front tire and the little tiny tire in the back? You know, from the 1800s?
Oh, yeah.
Aren't they called penny farthing?
I don't remember what they're called, but I know what you're talking about, yeah.
You saw an electric version of that?
No, not electric. Okay. Some guy rode one on the street.
So, oh, wow.
That was bizarre.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I got a video, so... yeah, I saw rollerblades, I saw some electric skateboards.
Were there people on Bird and Lime scooters as well?
I saw throwing
on the street and shit.
No, they weren't going around, but I definitely saw some, electric scooters.
Okay.
Yeah. A little bit of everything.
It's so funny. I didn't even know that there was like a whole ecosystem around this bird and lime thing. I saw videos of guys, their job is to go around and like find the scooters that are discarded and either charge them or fix them. That's their job. I had no idea.
That's how they make. And I've complained about this in the past near the beach where I live, and I ride during the week. They're everywhere, and they're like strewn all over the place, and it still bothers me. You know, you're riding on a tight bicycle path or something, and it's like they get off, they don't
dump
even,
it.
They just, and in the middle of the path, sometimes you'll see them just laid, like they just get off, no consideration to anyone else. They just, these guys, I've bumped into some guys. What they do is that they're actually riding a scooter themselves, and they'll have a bunch of scooters crossways on top of their scooter, and so they're riding a scooter picking up the scooters, and some of them look like how are they even riding these things, because they look like they have a dozen scooters piled on their scooter as they're riding.
That's crazy.
Kind of funny.
I guess they find the scooters by GPS or something, and I had no idea that was going on. It's very interesting.
I wonder how these companies are making money. They must be profitable somehow, because they're paying these finder fees for these people to charge them and to repair them.
I wonder what they're making charging scooters.
Right. Apparently it's cutthroat too, where some guys will it's like a competition to get to a scooter before someone else gets to it, and I guess they do some bad things along the way to prevent
them. Oh, really?
Yeah.
What can I say? I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Humanity. Yeah. Anything in the chat? We've been ignoring the chat today a bit, I think.
There hasn't been tons of chat going on. I have like 20-some people watching, 21 watching right now. Fat Unicyclist wants to know if we both get autographs. So Hunk has been very quiet. He was in here for a little bit, and I haven't heard anything from Hunka.
Yeah, he hurt himself a while back on his shoulder, I think.
What, he fell? Riding?
Yeah, riding.
I did not know that.
I don't think he didn't like damage anything per se, but I think he kind of tweaked it pretty bad, and kind of put the fear of God in him about riding right now.
Really?
I'm not even sure if he's riding right now. He's been pretty quiet on the forums.
Oh wow.
For usual self.
I hope he's alright.
Yeah, I think he'll come back to it. Unfortunately, he lives in Canada, where they, I think they probably have snow already. his riding season's pretty short.
Yeah, I wish we had some snow here. I'll tell you. It's fall, but it still feels very summer-like down here. You know, it's still in the 90s every day. And humid. Looking forward to some better riding weather.
Yeah, we've had a hot, it's last two to three months, it's been pretty brutal in Southern California. Even today, in the Griffith Park and the NCM 5, it was like 90.
Yeah, California is supposed to be like 75 and sunny most days. It's odd.
Yeah, well, it is most days, but for 2 to 3 months, our kind of like particularly hot season is August, September. July, August, September. Mm. September can actually be quite a warm month, but it's going to be cooling off pretty soon. Of course, we don't have any humidity like you.
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah, quite a bit.
I'm looking forward to it. Let's see, I'm not seeing much in chat. Mario, I don't know if you want to wrap it up. What are you doing?
Well, I guess we've maybe talked ourselves out. I don't know. You got anything? You're writing your 18L, waiting for the mystery.
Mystery devices will be coming hopefully in October sometime. And I'm still writing everything. I ride the skateboard still on the one wheel, obviously. So actually, the M10-3 is a thing that I haven't touched in a while. I kind of need to get back on that thing. I'm probably pretty rusty, I would imagine.
Well, you can ride it in your house, actually.
I could.
You've already seen the damage you do in your house and your other...
Yeah, I'm just kind of banned from doing that. It's not a good idea. No dark flame, spoiler, it's not a Z10. I'm not waiting for a Z10. Just FYI.
Gotta be a scooter.
Yeah, we'll see. So I just wanted to reiterate that some people might not have seen this, but they'll hear it. If you are listening to this on iTunes, it helps the podcast be found if you give a review on iTunes. Like you can give a one to five star review. Now don't rate us on our audio. Rate us on our audio content, not the quality. We'll get that fixed. But it does help people go in there and actually put a review in. It shows up more in search results when they do that. And probably Google Play or something similar. I would imagine.
We gotta be the only EUSC podcast on the planet, right? I can't believe it's no one else.
At least it's the only English-speaking one that I know.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Yep. Probably other ones, but I think it's pretty listenable as a the one I listened to, partly, right? It sounded pretty good as a podcast, actually.
Yeah, and it'll get better once we get this whole other thing worked out. Like I said, what I'm going to do, I think, in between now and the next podcast, is I'm going to set up like a legitimate test situation where I have two machines and all. I'll simulate exactly what we're doing, so I know it'll work. And if it requires us to change, like not use Skype or something else, we'll get that all set up well in advance. So, we'll be good, let me know.
I'm game to run any other software.
Mm-hmm. Yep, sounds good.
All right, guys. Well, hope you everyone has a good, enjoyable riding for the next couple of weeks. Get out on your wheels and listen to this podcast. You should be out riding instead of watching us. And just listen to us.
That's true.
Yeah, listen to us. And enjoy your wheels, Duff.
I guess
we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Marty.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Yeah.